Hey, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. Welcome back to another great show. I'm Nicola.
And I'm Vlad.
This week we're going to have a great show. However, unlike other shows we've done in the past, where we talk about different areas within Microsoft, we talk about usually Windows, we have Office stories, Azure stories, Xbox stories, Visual Studio stories. Even though we both work in Windows, this week is going to be about Visual Studio.
Yeah, because this week it seemed like the entire world took a break, but not Visual Studio.
Visual Studio went full on. So, you know, we've talked about the Visual Studio before episode and kind of been leading towards the launch this week. But this week, it seems like nothing else was announced except Visual Studio. Visual Studio went strong.
Awesome.
It was great. So if you haven't really paid attention to any news or Twitter or essentially anything that has to do with technology, even the Hacker News, you probably missed that Visual Studio 2017 was announced this week.
Not actually announced, but shipped.
Shipped, actually. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. General availability of Visual Studio 2017 was released.
Exactly.
So you can go download. If you want to get the free edition, the community edition, you can download it right now. It's also the other editions you can get with an MSDN account, etc.
In fact, before they shipped it, before the general availability, 700,000 people downloaded release candidate of Visual Studio, and actually all kinds of pre-release versions of Visual Studio. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you work with Visual Studio and work with the pre-releases, you don't pay attention to when general availability is because you just keep using the product. It doesn't matter if it's release candidate or general availability. Just one day, things start improving and like, oh, Visual Studio doesn't have as much bugs now. Oh, I guess it's general availability kind of thing for us.
Yeah, and actually the other day there was a tweet on Twitter. And a guy said that, like, you better go and download the Visual Studio 2017 now, because even in RC kind of state, it was already the best ever development tool out there. So, and I can confirm that.
Now, there was a lot of blog posts and documentation out there. The first place to get started, if you just want to learn about what's new with Visual Studio 2017, docs.microsoft.com has a whole page on some of the new things in Visual Studio 2017. It has links to other places as well. Some of the things they talk about there is some of the improvements around performance and productivity, how much faster is about loading new solutions, or just starting up Visual Studio in general, how we've updated a lot of the tools for everything, actually. Tools for cloud development, tools for client development, tools for productivity. Everything has actually been updated. It's faster, better, more improvements, amazing.
Yeah,
it's a great place to get started.
They actually start after what's new section. They start from installation because the installer, one of the biggest changes they've made, right? The way you install Visual Studio, the way you can deploy it now, and you know, you check it out once you launch the installer, you'll see it.
Yeah, it's a completely new, and it's one more thing that you can actually modularly decide what items you want from Visual Studio. Before, you kind of had. Most people click the just install Visual Studio for me without checking what they want installed. And I can say, I want to do web development, and then it just installs stuff for web development for you. It doesn't actually bother installing any other stuff that you might not need. It's really cool. Now, another place that you might find that has some really good stuff about what's new with Visual Studio 2017 and just has some tips about productivity updates, performance updates, and some of the partner stuff that we've done with Visual Studio 2017, John Montgomery has a great blog post where he talks about all kinds of stuff from some of the simplest stuff, like editing files without a solution. Now you can actually, you don't have to load a whole solution to edit a regular, you know, C# project, a C# file. You can just edit it direct in Visual Studio, be able to do some of the live unit testing we've been talking about before. Even some of the things around Xamarin, be able to visually see Xamarin forms stuff happening as you're editing the XAML directly and having the IntelliSense that the XAML provides now with Xamarin, etc. And some of the cool stuff we've done around cloud development, DevOps, some of the ecosystem stuff we've done as well, some extensions. There's a great blog post to just go read and just get updated on the new things.
Yeah, and by the way, if you are a developer, a C++ developer, and you deal with a lot of open source projects, you probably already know that Visual Studio 2017 supports CMake projects out of the box. So do you believe that instead of generating Visual Studio solutions on using CMake tools, you can just open CMake files in Visual Studio and have these, you know, all the projects in, populated for you? That's awesome, man.
Yes, it has something for everybody, no matter what kind of developer you are.
Exactly.
It's really cool. So one of the things we updated is we updated everything. When we update Visual Studio, you update everything. So ASP.NET Core has a lot of new updates in Visual Studio 2017. So all of the web development features have been updated to be faster, better, has some new features there. They've updated the ways that you create new websites. There's actually new CLI tools to create websites as well, web projects inside of .NET Core. They've updated all kinds of cool stuff. So it's a great blog post by Jeffrey that talks about some of the updates around ASP.NET Core and the web development.
Yeah, and actually, I remember us talking about that the other day on This Week on Channel 9. But that if you didn't check it out when Visual Studio was in RC stage, you better do it now.
Yeah. And one of the biggest updates we have announced was also the general availability of .NET Core Tools 1.0. There's some really cool stuff. There's some new CLI prompt updates now, so you can actually create whole new, like we mentioned, websites there. You can actually have a Docker, use Docker to create all of .NET Core projects as well and have your whole images. We actually have images you can download from Docker there as well. There's new templates in Visual Studio. There's my favorite feature is the ability to actually edit a CS project directly in Visual Studio without actually having to unload the project. So while the project is loaded,
I didn't know about that, man.
You just right-click and edit the CS project without actually unloading the whole project.
This is awesome because you know with this we kind of self-hosting the internal tools and the SDKs, and we have a bunch of Windows SDKs installed on the same time, and like editing CS project, I do it like every other day.
It's crazy. You have to unload the whole project.
Yeah.
Files get closed. So you have to reopen every single file you had open. It was a big pain.
I didn't know about this, man.
This is a great update.
Awesome.
Let me take a look at it.
I learned something here.
Another great update with this, like there's all kinds of new updates. A great update now is the productivity power tools for Visual Studio got updated as well to support 2017. These are tools, extensions that started first with 2010.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of cool stuff there. And these are small things that eventually make it into the full product.
Yeah.
For example, the live scroll bar that we have now in Visual Studio, that was part of this in 2010. So there's all kinds of new stuff here. So some of my favorite is control click to actually go to a definition into to something. So you can instead of just right clicking and pressing F12, you just use a control click. Copy as HTML is also a great one. We have copy as C sharp classes. You can do JSON. Now you can do copy as HTML. So there's a lot of different things. But Justin has a great blog post about all those new cool features they have for our tools.
Great.
Yeah.
Next one is about offline installer. And I believe we mentioned it somewhere already, but this is actually an article on how you create an offline installer for Visual Studio 2017. And the reason it's basically a set of special instructions, because when you install Visual Studio 2017 as it is by default, it's going to download a bunch of things.
It gets the latest
updates. Yeah, it's getting the latest updates. Yeah, and the reason we do it. First, because it's because we want to give you the latest of everything, and another reason is because some of these components we cannot actually ship them because the way the license says of those components, then they're not by Microsoft, they've done by other companies, is that you should download those files, but you as a user can actually create an offline installer for yourself, and we provide instructions on how to do that.
Yeah, we don't ship an ISO Visual Studio.
Yeah.
We just ship the installer.
Yeah.
Then you can just create it offline, get it in a file, and whatever. And there's actually a way, if you already created an offline installer, you can update it later on with the latest update. So you just get the delta of what has changed the last time you created the installer. It's a great way to do it.
So if you're about to leave for a business trip on an airplane, you do it now, and then you can install your Visual Studio on the airplane.
Or install on multiple machines at once without downloading it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As part of the launch, we also had a whole huge live event that was happening. We had a keynote by Scott Guthrie and
two
all
days.
Other people in there. It was a great event. A lot of cool videos, some fun videos there. There's a great video by Satya Nadella talking about Visual Studio and some of the path we've taken the past 20 years with Visual Studio. So all these videos are now actually live, available for replay on Channel 9.
Channel 9.
If you're just interested to watch some of the announcements and watch some of the new stuff, this. I believe everybody in Visual Studio had a chance to make one of these videos because there's so many different much content in here talking about what's new. And this, you can find something for everybody.
20 years. And 20 years of Visual Studio. Do you remember? Like, what was the first version of Visual Studio you used?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I think it was probably in college. Maybe it was before 2010.
Okay. Mine was Visual Studio 98, I believe. Yeah, because I was kind of the Borland guys. Do you remember the Delphi and Borland C++ and all these kind of stuff? And then I moved over to like hardcore C++ and, you know, these Microsoft Assembler things and Macro Assembler. And then I learned that there's a Visual Studio by Microsoft with MFC and all these like visual designers. And I was like, oh man, this is awesome. And actually, there was recently a lot of articles about 20 years of Visual Studio, how to get started, all the code names, you know, code names for like minor versions of Visual Studio. People are really like going deep in that. And there was a product called the Visual Interdev that was kind of developer focused web developer tools. Like that was like, was exciting times, man.
Yeah, you remember everything back then, huh?
Yeah, because I was using it. I remember even the front page, which was like on the office side, and it was everything was like in the visual way. And then if you're like a pro, then you move to Interdev and
so
really
Paul
cold.
Turd has a series of blog posts where he celebrates 20 years of Visual Studio. So he started with my last pick of the week last week was the faces of Visual Studio. So now he has two more blog posts about some of the stuff that he did 20 years ago when Interdev was first released, and also when a Visual Studio, Visual Basic was first released. So he's talking about where he was and what his history was. This first blog post for Interdev is actually the preface of the book that he wrote about.
Oh, Interdev. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so this is he actually posted the preface of the first book that he released of how he got started with Interdev and how he was working with Interdev and how to start working with databases, and how to start building websites with databases, and how to make it more alive. It's a great blog post about how things were back then, 20 years ago. And he has the same thing for Visual Studio, Visual Basic, which reads really, really nicely because it's a history of how he gets started, what the tools were back then, and why this was so much better and everything. So it's a great blog post and a little peek back into the day of how things work.
Yeah, a lot of things that you're familiar and get used to these days are actually coming from those days, and they were introduced those days for the first time.
It's interesting how things are different now than how things were different back then, and how things have kind of stayed the same. That's interesting. Now, Carl and Richard have a new podcast on .NET Rocks, which they have invited Julia Leeson to join and talk about the 20 years of Visual Studio. Now, for those that don't know, Julia is the corporate vice president of the developer division.
And she's
in charge of Visual Studio.
Actually, and even more than just Visual Studio. Yeah. And she's not going out that often. So there is a good opportunity to listen to her and to listen what she thinks about where Visual Studio goes and what she thinks about Visual Studio 2017. It's a good opportunity for you and for all of us, actually, to listen to her opinions on many things.
If you have 45 minutes, definitely put it on, maybe even put it in the background and just listen to this. It's a great podcast. Now, for those that wish there was more RC releases of Visual Studio and kind of get some of the latest stuff, we do have the new Visual Studio Preview Program, which actually allows Visual Studio previews to be installed side by side to actual GA products of Visual Studio. So we can have a preview version of it and the actual official release of it, so we can test out some of the new features that are coming up as part of Visual Studio, part of the update. So it's a great way to still be an insider or tester for this stuff and get the latest stuff.
Yeah, basically, if you're a Windows insider and you're enjoying that program, you better become a Visual Studio insider too. Yeah, and it's basically a Visual Studio insider program. Yeah, right?
It's essentially it. Anyway, I think that was enough for Visual Studio. Let's just jump into the picks of the week, which are not Visual Studio this time, because I think it's not.
Yes.
My pick of the week is actually about HoloLens. So building experiences in HoloLens that are actually differentiated from some of the experiences we've seen before. This is something actually I've thought about myself of doing. It's building a sort of a Terminator Vision HUD inside of the Visual Studio, so we have this static display in front of everything. It's actually what it looks like on Terminator. You can see some data popping up while you see things. It actually uses cognitive services to be able to analyze the scene and analyze and read text, do OCR on the text, and analyze faces and emotion and all those different things. And there's a blog post on the Windows Apps team that talks about how they built this from scratch. It actually reads as if start a blank new Unity project, drag these objects here, here's how you connect to cognitive services. And by the end of this, you'll actually learn and have this built with your own hands and how to do this. It's a great way to learn how to do different things with HoloLens and some of the great Azure services and cognitive services that we have also.
Yeah, back in years, I was always thinking, like, why they produce this text, you know, displays this text on the display in order to terminate or like to in order to be able to read it, because like it can read it internally, like why?
Yeah. I guess it thinks it.
Apparently, he has a very distributed system, so they normally like have direct connection to display, and there is like a camera that inside that reads it. That maybe.
Yeah, it feels like the bandwidth is just not there.
Right? Yeah. So. Anyway, it's a fun thing, especially if you're a Terminator fan. My pick of the week is a bit different of what I usually do. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that we officially announced that eventually there will be a Windows Server on ARM and a Windows Azure. And there were some rumors previously. And finally, Microsoft at Qualcomm announced that we're working together on bringing ARM to a Windows Server. And the reason, there are many reasons for that. And one of the reasons is obviously the heating, the power consumption. Another reason is that you may have some, you know, code algorithms that are running better on ARM because it's optimized for ARM. And there is actually an entire new motion of building servers on ARM because these processors, they're not quite mobile now. They are mobile, but you cannot say now that they are only mobile. Yeah. It's just different architecture, and some tasks they're better to run on ARM. And if you have your like server farm on ARM, especially in the cloud, it's a very good thing. And basically, we just announced that we're bringing ARM to Azure, and it's very good for our customers, for some of them.
Which is great. Gives you the best tool for the job at hand. So if you have different types of things, maybe ARM is better for those things versus using an x86 server. So maybe this is the best way to do it. So. Options is always a good thing, no matter where they come from.
Yeah, but what we also done, which we probably haven't done before, I'm not sure. This server design, the direct design, the entire thing, we open sourced that. There is an open compute project with which we joined back in 2014, and now with what we call Project Olympus, it's basically hardware design for that ARM-based server rack. We just open source it and we say, okay, if you wanna develop something like that, here it is.
Yeah, and the community can see how the server has been developed, and it can actually provide feedback and even help do the architecture of the design itself, the servers as well. It's really cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. I think that's all we got for this week. Thanks everybody for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this show, and we'll see you next week.
Have fun. Bye.